Okay, now, the important thing historically about watching this case is that Senator Cranston recently, just 2 weeks ago, said terrorism is the biggest problem in the country. General Haig is talking about terrorism. The House Un-American Activities is coming together with terrorism. The control that Adolf Hitler had in Germany with the Reichstag fire that was set by his own people was create terror, it will bring police, and then the police can take you away and take away your life and liberty. They create, through provocateurs, the necessity for the police through violences of a kind, and then after they have the controls, then they take the very people that they said the police were there to protect. And I warned many times during the election of Carter and Ronald Reagan, and I certainly had a lot of things against Jimmy Carter, that Reagan's expertise, his shtick, was violence and getting people worked up. When he was the governor of California, that's when he wanted the mind control center to study the causes of violent behavior. And he knew that they would work on minorities and prisoners and blacks with electrodes and transponders and so forth, never accounting that poverty or lack of education, unemployment causes violence or jealousy or frustration, being pushed into ghettos, overcrowded, overheated, hungry, drugged, drunk, causes violence. Violence comes from some racial thing in your brain that the government, the CIA, and the Pentagon, and the powers that be want psychosurgery on people's brains to see what part causes violence, particularly in minorities. And Reagan's whole establishment for 8 years for people across the country may not have studied things, but California was the home of things like the SLA, Jonestown, Edmund Kemper, Herbert Mullen, the Oda family murders, the Manson family. We have the freeway killer, the L.A. Stranglers. Now with the death of gays that we're talking about in San Francisco, the Muni bus drivers are being shot at random, and the beheadings at Golden Gate Park, and purposeful murders of people hiking at Mount Tamalpais, and used to be hitchhikers on the road were taken away. They still are with the L.A. Freeway Strangler, who also had handcuffs and decal from the supervisors in L.A. and worked with the LAPD. So you get all of this violence in order to get a police state, and that takes money. And the question I'm asking is, when the bank emptied out in Australia, did it come to California? And did these guys, like Harold Smith, get on to the funneling of this money through these banks, and are they breaking open? Did they get a view of something, and they're being blamed for using too much of their own money and being too conspicuous? They broke into a bigger story, which Smith said they did. He said, we're minnows in a really big story. Now, the organization that was formed at Wells Fargo for fight promotion had the name of Muhammad Ali Sports Group in it. So Muhammad Ali gets several hundred thousand a year. He was to get to use his name. The Los Angeles Times had an interview with Muhammad Ali this week. What do you think of Harold Smith? And they asked him what he thought about this. And his first remark is, the FBI is calling on me. Then he said, the CIA is guarding my house. So Muhammad Ali brings the CIA into this story. He said he got a phone call from Smith, who said, through Smith's friend, tell Ali I'm back in the country and that this story makes Hollywood look small. When this is over, it will make a big movie. Some producers will say, if we got a hell of a good script here. And then the phone rings, and Muhammad Ali answers and pretends it's the city morgue and says, is he dead? Because Smith is sure that he'll be killed before this story comes out. Then there's another phone call, and he says, yes, the White House. Hey, Ronald, how are you doing? And the article doesn't say whether Ronald Reagan actually did call him or whether he's clowning, but he was serious about the CIA guarding his house. And then Muhammad Ali says, I just can't figure out that one black man such as Harold Smith could have tricked the entire white establishment out of what they say. He got a call from Canada from a woman who said, is Smith a kook? And Muhammad Ali had a good answer. He said, we black folks don't use the word kook. You call him a kook before you know what's happening. Of course, you remember when Mark David Chapman shot John Lennon, we say he's a kook. When there's a fire, an arson where hundreds die, you say, oh, that's a kook. And we had Watergate and the men were caught at the hotel. They're kooks. the news media in America takes a major crime and puts it on one person with a smirk who has a funny look, or a man that killed Alan Lowenstein, and endless series of murders, and we call them kooks, and that's it. And Muhammad Ali, a little more sophisticated, said the black folks don't use the word, and you use it before you know what's happening. Another woman called him and wanted to know if his line was tapped. He said, the FBI is interviewing you and me right now. There's a whole file in Washington on me, a whole department just to analyze me. It reminds me of the CIA trying to analyze Daniel Ellsberg at the time of the anti-war movement. And Muhammad Ali said, 4 or 5 blocks away, there's a rod aimed at my house, and everything I say, even in secret with my wife, is heard. The CIA is watching him night and day. Why would the CIA be so concerned unless this money actually was filed into the bank for the Central Intelligence Agency? And that's what Smith is hitting at, Harold Smith, and that it's a big, big story. Wait till it really comes out, and Muhammad Ali is waiting to hear. Now, as I say, the news media carries this. They're very cute about these things. It was just a little story, I think, a few weeks ago when I mentioned it to you. It was a tiny little story of some money that was missing, and then, as I say, it was the $20 million, and then $21 million, and then the Village Voice brought it into the Las Vegas casinos, which makes it a little more complicated with Paul Exalt from Las Vegas, and the bribery and the scheming and the extortion and mail fraud, and the story gets a little bigger. And then, as I say, Harold Smith surfaced with $200 to $300 million. And then he goes on to, there's another article that Smith referred to, a Dan King, Don King. He's a fighting promoter who is at the opposite end. He takes one of the team that fights, and Harold Smith takes the other. They were supposed to turn their men, Muhammad Ali, and Don King takes the other fighter, and they oppose each other, and both of the men, the boxing people, are kingpins in the boxing racket. But in this particular case, the New York Times has an article that the people who would be ahead if Don King was caught in indictments and boxing fraud and linked to organized crime would be Madison Square Garden owners, and they went on to say they're owned by Gulf and Western, and a man named Bob Arum and so forth would be the recipient if the boxing problem got tangled in organized crime and fraud and corruption and payoffs and so forth. There's another gang that are ready to take over the profits. The Holmes fight, the Muhammad Ali Holmes fight, was at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas, and they work with the owners of Caesar's Palace, who, according to the New York Times, were recently linked to crime figures. They asked for a license in Atlantic City and were linked to crime figures. And, of course, Frank Sinatra this week got his license with no mention of the crime figures that the New York Times is talking about. I think it was January 30th where the article, little article in the L.A. Times, Wells Fargo Bank talks about the embezzlement of several million dollars from an employee. It was an internal job, several million, and then at the bottom it says $20 million. And I thought that was a small article. I put it at the bottom of my pile, and we're talking about 80 or 40 or $200 million. That looked like a little article that week, but it did grow up into a much larger sum. And it's a question of who you believe now, whether you believe Harold Smith, who's head of the Muhammad Ali Professional Sports Group. It's called MAPS. Whether this thing is a big story, a bigger story, if he has the documents or not. Do you believe the Wells Fargo people that it's just a little story or a big story? There's some more stories in the New York Times on Harold Smith, the fellow that we're talking about, the main character, and I brought in a few quotations of those. He was little known. He only moved to Beverly Hills. He's 37 years old. When he got this large amount of money from the Wells Fargo Bank, he actually had never had handled large amount of money before. He's been traveling around with $50,000, $30,000, and $100 bills, taking them up to Vegas. He owns a large home in Bel Air, California. He has 2 condominiums in Marina del Rey, $80,000 powerboat, $40,000 El Dorado, another car, a Seville, a Mercedes. And the source of his financing has never been explained. He said a relative from Mississippi and his wife and $6 million from Cox Communications for TV boxing. He's suspected, according to the New York Times, of drug traffic. And again, the drug trafficking comes into the Nugenhan Bank, the CIA bank that was closely linked to heroin traffic just a few months ago. He makes deposits into Wells Fargo that were explained by the New York Times were a cover for cocaine money, and he put a lot of drug money into the bank to establish his credit. Now, that may tell you how he got started at Wells Fargo, but it doesn't explain where he got these millions of dollars to put in the credit that he established there. And the inquiry into his background said that he has money from foreign sources and wealthy friends, and there's no suggestion about who the friends are. And also, a New York Times story, inquiry into boxing promotion company threatens Madison Square Garden card. They have a fight coming up this February, next week or so, that was threatened. I want to go into the Madison Square Garden that Gene Harris, whose name is in the news a lot, who shot Dr. Tarnauer, worked at Madison Square Garden for 2 years when she was going with Tarnauer in the middle of their relationship, and then went down to the school in Maryland. But back to this money that Harold Smith is supposed to be responsible for. They said it came out of nowhere to promote fights. The Village Voice had an article. Well, if this money comes out of nowhere and it's linked to Las Vegas and it's linked to exposés of Wells Fargo Bank and mail frauds and every kind of criminal action, will these connections rub off on Paul Laxalt and Ronald Reagan and Caesar's Palace and Frank Sinatra and Westchester County? That is the Tarnauer area where Reverend Moon and organized crime. There's sort of a suspicion on my part that the Beverly Hills, San Francisco linkage of the Wells Fargo banks and this tremendous amount of floating money that comes out of nowhere has to be explained before we know who's going to be hit the hardest by this, because nobody just comes up with all these millions of dollars with no explanation, and in the process of falling, he has so many connecting links to important people. Now, another article in the New York Times, until recently, Smith was a scuffler without any obvious source of important income. He worked organizing rock concerts, promoted rock concerts, met Muhammad Ali in 1960, but his career began with federal money given to Muhammad Ali in Pasadena in 1977. Federal money. Muhammad Ali is being guarded by the CIA and the FBI now, and the money for Harold Smith began, a man who allegedly worked in the civil rights movement in the South with Rap Brown and Stokely Carmichael and organized petitions for Ali when he was had his title taken away during the war. And it had to do with a plastics manufacturer named Philip Fairchild in Pasadena, who had invited a certain person who was training for the Montreal Olympics to come to California and train for the Olympics, and Ali gave this person $30,000 for a home, and Harold Smith helped out. And Smith didn't have any money in 1970. He had asked to borrow some money from somebody, $300 in cash, in 1977. But through an introduction of federal funds in 1977, and in Pasadena, California, this is where Harold Smith met up with these people, where all this money was floating. Now, in the book on Robert Vesco, it tells about his linkage from New Jersey to Pasadena. And, of course, Vesco, you have to read the books on the life of Vesco to appreciate how many areas and bases he touches, and Richard Nixon's bases in Pasadena and Whittier and Ronald Reagan's. The money began, or the introductions began, through federal funds that introduced Harold Smith to Muhammad Ali and a plastic firm in Pasadena, run by a Philip Fairchild. Now, Harold Smith made many trips to Australia, part of his biography in the New York Times, trips to Australia and to Hong Kong, and these are important. Hong Kong is coming out again in the Reagan story. There's some wonderful stories about Hong Kong. Maxine Cheshire, who writes such marvelous stories, Washington Post, that come out once a week, the VIP column, has an article about a man, Sir Y.K. Pao, who is the richest billionaire in Hong Kong, the shipbuilder, who's on the board of, he's the head president of Worldwide Marine Company, and an official in Chase Manhattan's advisory committee, Chase Manhattan Bank International Advisory Committee. Ronald Reagan needed money for his inauguration ball, his inauguration committee, and this billionaire from Hong Kong put up $50,000 to Ronald Reagan's gala inauguration party. Now, Harold Smith's links go to occasional trips to Australia. Keep in mind, he didn't have anything in 77, and by 79, this money flowed in, and that's the year that the money was drained out of the Nugent Hand Bank in Australia of the CIA that involved narcotics. Smith made occasional trips to Australia, and then his dealings were through Hong Kong. He's suspected of laundering drug money in a Hong Kong bank. And, of course, as I say, the Nugent Hand Bank in Australia was emptied out that involved drug money and the CIA. And the counterintelligence, the violence or the terrorism that makes Haig or the House Un-American Activity or Reagan proclaim this kind of activity that we have to watch in this country, that takes a lot of money to get activity going on the streets. Remember at the time of Watergate, when the men were arrested and it turned out that people in Miami had $100 bills in their pockets that Bernard Barker and Martinez were handing out to pay for violent demonstrations against the anti-war people and George McGovern, and they even paid so-called hippies, nude women, to discredit the hippies and the anti-war people, and they had $100 bills to kidnap political left and take them to Mexico and to run bordellos and get congressmen compromised. That took a lot of CIA money, and the breaking of the Watergate story stopped the kind of violence that took place in Chicago in 1968. And the only reason it was quiet in Miami in 1972 was because the Watergate story broke in June. And by August, the hundreds of dollars of CIA money that was floating around for the disruptions was linked again to the banks through Texas and Houston and Gulf and Western and to the committee to reelect the president. So I suspect that the Nugent Hand money could have been emptied out of Australia and linked, combined with narcotics and Hong Kong and Ronald Reagan and this political group they're in now, to get ready for what I've predicted for a long time would be a new series of violences in Bay Area and California as soon as Reagan was president. Going back last November, 1980, tape 465, I talked about the people that had been murdered in relationship to the Nugent Hand Bank, and earlier I did tapes on the Nugent Hand burglary. But this Smith makes trips to Australia frequently and to Hong Kong, and again, that has the same links to an area where a lot of CIA money is missing and was used for counterintelligence before and could be used again. Now, in the Muhammad Ali Sports Group was formed at the Santa Monica Civic Auditorium in 1979 in May. They had a fight in 1979, May 25th. And at that time, Smith lost a lot of money. He didn't make any money at the box office. He lost more than $1.5 million in the fight. And this particular promoter that was giving money to boxers and getting them to sign up with him, the first fights that he arranged, and he was fairly new at this, he was losing many, many million and spending a lot of million on himself. So there was a lot of millions of dollars floating around unaccounted for, and I think that a lot of the answer of this money will come to Australia and Hong Kong and back to Reagan and the Vegas gang and Caesar's Palace. And I hope, I'm not making this too complicated for you, but I want to spend the entire hour this evening so that as stories break on this, you can save articles in your papers around the country and see what you're picking up. Now, Harold Smith said last week that he had hired Paul Caruso, as I said before, the noted California attorney, to represent him. And if any of you have the book on the Manson family, Helter Skelter, you'll read there how Lauren Schiller, a self-described journalist, went with Paul Caruso and Richard Caballero and asked the journalist, would you be interested in selling the story of Suzanne Atkins of the Manson family? And it was Paul Caruso and his associate, Caballero, who began selling stories. And Smith says, what a movie this would make, what a story it would make. And he has hired the same Paul Caruso to represent him, the man who broke the Sue Atkins story to the European Press Syndicate, according to Bugliosi, and had the story going out about the Manson family. Again, the Manson family, if you read Bugliosi's book, and the same thing happened with the SLA, they disguised themselves as black and left the credit cards of the murdered Biancas in the black part of town so that they would think black people did the murders, and wrote Death to the Pig on the door with blood so they would think it was the Black Panthers. And this same neo-Nazi counterintelligence group wanted people to be afraid of the blacks, and the SLA were painting their faces black so that the crimes would look, the kidnapping, as if they were black when they were white. The shooting of Dr. Marcus Foster in Oakland that preceded Patty Hearst's kidnapping by 3 weeks. Well, how far will this story grow in the next weeks, in the next months? Will it be stopped? I don't know. New York Times had another story on the FBI, and this is what they said. The FBI is extending their investigation beyond boxing figures into other organizations, but it doesn't say what organizations. It said it will probably lead to incriminating organized crime figures in the non-boxing enterprise, but it doesn't say who in the non-boxing enterprise it could lead to. There's any number of possibilities. Abscam started out with endless possibilities and then was closed because certain people in the FBI gave leaks, which forced them to stop investigating and prosecuting, and maybe someone from the inside will do the same thing here. Now, some of these people, as I said, are involved with Bob Arum, the head of a group called Top Rank, a graduate of law school, and a John Condon, C-O-N-D-O-N, who's the president of boxing for Madison Square Garden, the subsidiary of Gulf and Western. And there are a lot of questions about the Madison Square Garden connections, the boxing figures, and so forth. And just last week, there was a social affair. Again, Maxine Cheshire wrote in VIP. She has these marvelous articles. This is the Washington Post, February the 8th. Ronald Reagan's old days. This was about his birthday party and his swimming. And it said, one of the things that his agent, former agent, one-time agent, Sonny Werblin, likes to kid the president about when they get together with their early swimming fishing days. Werblin, the former New York Jets owner who was chairman of Madison Square Garden Corporation, was one of the guests at the president's birthday party Friday night. So while all of this was coming down and involving Madison Square Garden and a lot of persons that rent the space for fighting, Ronald Reagan's one of the first people that was with him and befriended him is now the manager of Madison Square Garden. The Village Voice, Jack Newfield, had an article how Dan Rather did an expose on CBS about the links of ABC to this scandal, and that Dan Rather accumulated 327 pages and reports and affidavits and tapes and documentary evidence of suggested illegal acts. Now, if I were looking for a smoking gun, knowing Dan Rather's role in Dallas, the time of the Kennedy assassination, and his links to the Eastern establishment, he's soon to take over Cronkite's seat with the news, Dan Rather holds a lot of the future questions or the direction of this way it's going to go. I could see Dan Rather as press secretary to George Bush if Ronald Reagan were linked or smeared to what could get off as a Reagan gate if it opens up. I see the tentacles here. That Wells Fargo Bank in Beverly Hills is just two blocks from his barber, Drecker's barber, and it's the hangout of all the Ronald Reagan cronies in Beverly Hills. And if it stretches to so many branch banks and so much money, and up and down the coast, and the missing other CIA money that isn't accounted for, and Mr. Smith's frequent trips to Australia and then to Hong Kong, and the Hong Kong billionaire with Ronald Reagan, and the Caesar's Palace with Peter Pitches of the old Manson gang testifying for Frank Sinatra. I think you all would agree that, well, I'm throwing around a lot of names tonight, there's an interesting web of circumstances to consider the possibilities. And as I say, when you bring in the Eastern establishment of Dan Rather, it really gets interesting. The Los Angeles Times started this thing back on the sports pages. The San Francisco Chronicle has practically nothing, even though they mention the San Francisco Wells Fargo Bank. The New York Times is eating it up. The Washington Post has just a little teeny thing. You know, they don't really want to touch it. But the New York Times and the Eastern establishment, the kind that would not want Ronald Reagan in very much longer, but would really love their Yale guy, George Bush, in the White House, they seem to be relishing it with pages and pages of material from the New York Times and Village Voice articles. And that's why I think that bringing in Dan Rather and suggesting that he has pages on this information almost sounds like he can either hold it back or keep leaking it out, but we don't know what he knows. The media coverage I'll continue to watch is as interesting as the story itself. In the meanwhile, the Madison Square Garden is returning money for the fights that are supposed to be scheduled, and Harold Smith is talking about the plans to kill him. Don King, the sports promoter, said that 2 years ago, Harold Smith said he had a terminal illness, and in 2 years, meaning now, maybe he knew he would be dead of lead poisoning. He means, of course, lead through the bullet. Smith says that they're trying to kill me, and he's called in several times how his life is in danger and that he'll be dead in 2 days if he doesn't reveal some of the documents that he has, and he's put them in a safe place. And with Paul Caruso as his attorney, I think it can develop into a good story. Well, I did want to spend, as I say, the whole evening. I'll get back to other stories next week, but I think this has the tentacles of a Reagan gate, and a lot of unanswered questions from the past could be answered here. And maybe what Johnny Meyer has to say when he writes his 10 or 20 or 30 pages that we can get of the transactions that went on that he knew about working for the CIA and the news organization 10 years, maybe some of those pieces will fit in. In the meantime, I'm following a lot of other stories, but I'm watching this in particular, and we'll just see where it goes in the weeks to come. In the meanwhile, this is Mae Brussel in Carmel, California, and I'll be back with you next week.
This has been World Watchers International with noted conspiracy investigator Mae Brussel. This program originates from Carmel, California.